looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Mishar's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ground ball, Sale has it to Bogart's one, and the first got out of the bang bang play and a double play. Chris Sale with a shot right back at him.
He's a cat.
Did you like that one last night, Murray? Did you like that one, that double play in the sixth inning? How'd that make you feel?
Yeah, it was, and at least a little bit more of an entertaining contest, but still, it's another yawner for me for the most part, because, I don't know, I can't get too much hype out of these games against bad competition like the Texas Rangers. I'm sorry.
I can't. Not the answer I was looking for, Jim, but nonetheless, I appreciate your honesty. 617-779-0985. Here's my point. Chris Sale last night, and look, I know it was the Texas Rangers. I know it was July. I know the Red Sox are, like, rampaging through the American League. But those final couple innings with Sale in particular last night, I thought were entertaining. I mean, they were fun innings. And when I say that, I mean that Sale was into it. He came off the mound. He's screaming into his glove. And to me, there was sort of an interesting conclusion I came to here in the last 24 hours. And this will all make sense to you here in a minute. But sometimes the story is what happens. Okay? Sometimes that's the story. What happens? We say this is the news. That's the story. Sometimes the story is what doesn't happen. Okay? What doesn't happen. And here's my point. When J.D. Martinez came to the Red Sox, we all said, well, how's the guy going to, or people like me anyway, how's he going to hit in the ballpark? How's it going to work? He's put that to bed immediately, right? David Price, can he handle Boston? That's been an issue since the day he got here. Think of all the new players that have come here and have not lived up to the hype. I mean, a million of them. Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Pablo Sandoval, whether they're free agents, trades, and there is a difference there, but nonetheless, you hear what I'm saying. They come to a place like Boston, and it's different. Has Sale had any difficulty at all?
No.
None. None. And it struck me again, when you listen to his post-game comments from last night, and to me, this is worth bringing up now, because who's pitching tonight? Price. And so the difference between these two guys, like, David Price should understand, looking at Chris Sale, how you can succeed in a place like Boston. It's really not that hard. Now, look, the stuff is different. Sale throws 98, 99. He hit 100 this season, for crying out loud. Even if he's pitching at 96, 97, Price isn't there like he was in the past. Okay, so Price doesn't throw as hard as he used to. Even so, I think the mentality with Price is a bigger problem than the stuff. And Sale's mentality? Totally different. So this brings me to the column in today's Boston Globe by Dan Shaughnessy on David Price and Chris Sale's performance last night. Could you get a more striking contrast between the two aces of the Red Sox and, you know, quote-unquote aces of the Red Sox, and a guy who has the makeup of an ace? What I don't know about Chris Sale is whether he has the durability of an ace. We're going to find out this year. But the makeup? Oh, boy, does Sale have it. Meanwhile, Price? Oh, God, please. So listen to this comment, okay? Shaughnessy did a Q&A with David Price last night, or yesterday before the game, I'm assuming, because I can't imagine that Price was around the ballpark after the game. And at one point, Shaughnessy asked David Price, it seems like you hate it here. Do you hate Boston? And Price's answer, I've never said I've hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. That's a perception that's put on me through you guys, meaning the media. That's what that is. It's like when we were in Minnesota and I said I wasn't deserving of being an all-star and didn't think I should be an all-star. And then all of that crap got put out. It turns into that. So write what you want to write. Now, nowhere in there does David Price say that he likes Boston or likes the fans And even when he's been asked about it in the last year or so, the response is always very lukewarm, very tepid. You don't get any sense that the guy enjoys it here. Okay? He says he doesn't hate it, which, frankly, I don't think he's telling the truth. But that aside, he's never given you any real indication that he enjoys what comes with playing in Boston and playing for the Red Sox. Sale last night, after turning that double play to end the sixth, first and third, nobody out, he gets a strikeout, then a comebacker to the mound, fields it, throws to Bogarts, they turn the double play, and Sale swears into his glove, and he said after the game that he didn't want his mother to see what he was saying. Okay, gets caught up in the moment. Caught up in the intensity of the moment. And here is what Chris Sale said after the game when asked about getting pumped up by that double play.
Anybody out there on this team anyways would be fired up as well. Not to mention the fact you got a sold out Fenway Park losing their mind. So you feel that. I feel that. And I feel like I try to use that as much as I can in my favor. So I like pitching here. And I appreciate the fans coming out and bringing the energy with them.
Okay, so that part at the end. I like pitching here. Sold out Fenway Park. People losing their minds. I feed off of that. I feel that when I'm out there. I feel it. That, you know, it motivates me. It drives me. I can feed off it. Sale? That's what Sale says. Price? I've never said I've hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. I've never said that. That's a perception that's put on me through you guys. That's what that is. It's like when we were in Minnesota and I said I wasn't deserving of being an all-star and didn't think I should be an all-star. And then all that crap got put out. It turns into that. So write what you want to write. Meanwhile, the other guy, no, he feeds off the crowd.
Yeah, he's an absolute psycho, and I mean that in the best, most complimentary way possible. I mean, we knew that about him coming from Chicago. He didn't like the uniforms, and he cut them all the hell up. Who was it? Adam, he was defending his...
The first pick, LaRoche.
Adam LaRoche, he was defending him, the whole thing with letting his kid in the clubhouse. Like, he's an emotional dude, and he gets into it. That's a good attribute about Chris Sale. I mean, whether it's... he doesn't like the uniforms, or he gets himself out of a jam, and he's MFing his glove. Like, that's a good thing to see. You want a guy like that. With David Price, you get a passivity with David Price. And I think that's a lot of the problem, if not all of the problem with that guy.
Okay, so this is what I want to ask Red Sox fans. Okay, this is what I want to ask you tonight. Because Price goes on the mound tonight. They've won 9 in a row. They haven't won 10 in a row this year. I think this is their third 9-game winning streak. I mean, it's ridiculous that they have 3 of them, and we're not even at the All-Star break yet. That in and of itself is saying something. But as a Red Sox fan, and you look at Price, because I've heard a lot of debate about this lately.
This is their second 9-game winning streak.
It's their second one? I thought it was their third. Okay, but in any case, when they haven't gotten to 10 yet, and it's amazing when you think of it that they could be 65-29 and not have a 10-game winning streak, right? A 10-gamer's hard, but nonetheless. So I've heard a lot of debate of late about Price. Why isn't Price pitching the same? Shaughnessy asked him about it in the column today. Price says it's mechanical. A lot of people say David Price doesn't have the same stuff anymore. Of course, he didn't have the same stuff when he had that 8 or 9-game start or stretch of starts where he went 7-1, the team went 8-1, and his ERA was under 3 when he was pitching lights out. And there are nights where the gun says Price is throwing 93, but it sure seems like it's coming in a lot harder. And he's pitching aggressively, and he's going to the inside part of the plate. So I ask you again, is the reason that Price is no longer dominating, is that because of stuff? Chris Sale throws 98, 99. Price throws 93, maybe 94, at least as a starter. Is that what the difference in those two guys is? Or is it the mentality? Because to me, to be an ace, it's mentality as much as stuff. You need the stuff. Don't get me wrong. Price has enough. Price's stuff isn't much worse than Rick Porcello's. Rick Porcello pitches with more attitude than David Price does. So to me, it's the mentality. I think Price lacks ace mentality. That's what I think it is. I don't think it's the stuff. I think it's his heart. I think it's his head. I think he lacks the mentality. And when you watch him on the mound, you tell me, as a Red Sox fan, a Red Sox follower, what do you see? Is it the stuff? In your mind, maybe it's just the stuff. Maybe you're a very analytical, practical person. You're logical. And you say, nope, it's purely about ability. Like Chris Gasper. right? And I'm not making fun of Gasper, but Gasper is someone who more often than not looks at it and says, nope, it's purely about the ability, and he doesn't have the ability anymore. And I'm not even sure that that's what he feels with Price, but I think generally Chris is a very sort of logical, thoughtful, analytical guy who gives people the benefit of the doubt. Okay, it says, nope, it's about ability. But I look at Price, and I say, no, you have enough. Even now, you have enough. You certainly have enough to pitch better than a 4.44 ERA. You certainly have enough to be competitive against good teams, not like the ass-kicking you took at the hands of the Yankees a couple of weeks ago. You have enough to win in the postseason, and you certainly did early in your career, even though you never have as a starting pitcher, which is really unbelievable when you think about it. Price has got enough. It's not a question of his stuff. I know a lot of people want to talk about his stuff. It's not the same as it was when he was 23. Of course not. What guy is the same at 31 that he was at 23? None of them, or most of them aren't. With him, the one constant in his whole career has been the mentality. The mentality. And when he comes out of the bullpen, he has sort of a killer mentality. He did with Tampa Bay, and he did last year with the Red Sox. But as a starter, talk about a guy who gets in his own way or can't get out of his own way. Just tell you what, take all the words out, just the visuals, the body language. Watch Sale on the mound. Watch him come off the mound last night after a big play. And then watch Price on the mound in New York. Which guy looks like he's feeding off the challenge and the environment, and which guy looks like he's psyched out by it? Oh my gosh, it's so striking. It is such a contrast when you look at these two guys. Chris Sale came here with big expectations, just like David Price did. And we never talk about him. Rarely. The guy shredded uniforms in Chicago. And so you want to talk about, can that guy handle Boston if he's losing his mind in Chicago? He can't hack up at the White Sox? He's going to handle Boston? He hasn't had a problem at all. We haven't talked about that at all with him in 2 years. Not once. With Price, it's never gone away. Really unbelievable when you think about it. We'll get to your calls and get to Price specifically tonight next.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotta, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, here comes the 2-2 to Judge. Swung on, a high drive to deep center. Bradley going back, away back, on the track, at the wall. She's gone! Into Monument Park. A Judgian blast. And all rise. Here comes the Judge. Case closed. Swung on and hit in the air to right and deep. Betts going back, on the track, at the wall. She's gone! It is Glaber Day. And like a good Glaber, Torres is there. Swung on, hit high in the air to right. Betts back on the track. At the wall, she's gone. Hicks hits one to the sticks. Price is really getting lit up. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. His first major league hit is a home run against the Red Sox. How do you like that? Higashioka, the home run stroker.
The pitch to Hicks. Swung on and hit in the air to center. Back goes Bradley on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. Into Monument Park. Hicks hits one to the sticks. Aaron Hicks is his second home run of the game. The Yankees have hit 5 home runs. They have shelled David Price. And the Yankees take an 8-0 lead.
Price, by the way, is very lucky that this isn't Fenway Park right now, because he wouldn't get out of that place alive.
So that's going back a couple of starts now, but there's a reason why we play it for you. That game, that Sunday night game against the Yankees, David Price on the mound, 5 home runs, got absolutely freaking tattooed by the Yankees in New York. That was the last time the Red Sox lost. That's the last time the Red Sox lost a game. So now Price goes to the mound tonight with the team holding a 9-game winning streak against Jay Happ and the Toronto Blue Jays. And the numbers for Happ, strikingly similar to those for Price, by the way. 10-5, 4.44 ERA. I believe maybe someone could check this quick. I believe their ERAs are identical. Jay Happ and David Price. So even that, like, think of that. When the Red Sox signed Price, is that who you thought you were getting? Jay Happ? Jay Happ.
And he's been terrible lately, too. He got killed by against the Yankees on Saturday. Happ did.
So Happ, I think, is going to get traded here in the next couple of weeks. I don't think Toronto's going to keep him. He's a free agent at the end of the year. See, to me, he's not a bad guy to take a gamble on if you're a team that's looking for a starting pitcher. And hell, he could end up in New York with the Yankees. But Jay Happ and David Price right now are the same pitcher. That's what they are. And again, that's the last time the Red Sox lost a game. So Price is going to go to the mound tonight against the Blue Jays and their current collection of players whom historically he's generally dominated, and he's going to spit up on himself again. It's hard not to notice. Last night, amid all this stuff, and then today with the Shaughnessy column and Price's comments about the fans, and he just says, no, I don't. You know, you never heard me say I hate the fans. He never said he loved them either. Meanwhile, Chris Sale comes off the mound, and he says, man, I love pitching here. I can feed off the crowd, feed off the intensity. People out there are losing their minds. I love pitching here. Because that guy was on the south side of Chicago, playing in that rat hole for that crap bag organization in Chicago, the White Sox. Now is he at a place where the people care and he's going to complain? Really, it's unbelievable when you look at the two of them, how different they are, and how one guy has embraced the environment here and thrived on it, and the other guy just cannot cope. Pete's in New Hampshire kicks us off tonight. What do you got, Pete?
So just quickly, I feel like David Price is a talented guy who doesn't know who he is. I feel like when he first got here, he was using social media to say things like, come on, guys, it's all about unity. Let's come together. And then over time, I feel like he's adopted the Boston persona of being like disgruntled and abrasive. I feel like he probably had a friend one time that had allergies to fresh cut grass. It was like, you know what? Sometimes I get the sniffles when I'm around fresh cut grass.
So look, Pete, here's what I tell you with Price. Okay, he doesn't have the same stuff he used to have. He doesn't. Anybody that watches him knows that. But he's never had the mentality. Again, when he was young, he had good stuff. He still couldn't win as a starter. So how do you explain that? The one constant in his inability to win in October has been his head and his heart. It's those two things.
And a little bit of success, just real quick, that he did have in 08 against the Red Sox. As you've said before, and I believe this too, young rookies, when they come into the league, they're too stupid to know better. You know, when they have good stuff, especially pitchers, I think Clay Buchholz was another one you can maybe use in 07, they're too stupid to know better. They come in, they're lights out, they're not thinking about it, they're not thinking of the pressure of the moment, and I think that's why Price was successful in 08 when he came into the bullpen, out of the bullpen and shut the Red Sox down.
Well,
the ALCS.
And they're still trying to prove themselves, right? It's just like, I'm going to come out and air it out because I fear these guys I'm going against. There's some of that. Now, it's amazing when you look at this guy and you say that he's never won anything, that he wouldn't have the ass, the attitude, the way that Chris Sale does. Really, unbelievable. CJ's in Dorchester. Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, I think to your question about mentality versus stuff, I think it's definitely his mentality. I mean, you mentioned the velocity of Sale. I mean, there's guys that can pitch 93, 94, and if they have pinpoint accuracy and they have control of their emotions, they're successful. But this guy just gets in his own way. And if you think about it, from all the four major sports, the pitchers have the most time in the most valuable position to think and mess things up by thinking. They have infinite amounts of time on the mound to second guess what their next pitch is, what they're going to do. There's no other sport where they have that much time to go over and over again and worry about what just happened and talk to the coach as many times as they want. I mean, I think this guy's in his own head.
Oh, CJ, listen, he's a complete mental case. You think he's a complete mental case? If someone could just grab him by the collar and shake him and say, first of all, the whole working slowly thing works against him. And this is part of the reason I think that he's better in the bullpen than he is as a starter in the postseason. Because exactly what you said, less time to think. So you know what happens in the playoffs? They bring him out of the bullpen like they did last year. You know what he does? He just airs it out. He whips it. There's nothing gimmicky about it. He's not thinking about getting someone out for three at-bats. He's looking at someone going, I just got to get him out once. I'm going to blow him away. End of story. Boom. Done. And it works. Then he gets into these games, and Murray made this point about the Yankee game a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night. Watch him labor between pitches. The deep breaths, the tugging on the jersey, the spitting. That's the one that got him in all the trouble with Dennis Eckersley, was the laboring on the mound, the burden it is to pitch.
And you saw it the same. It was the same damn thing last Saturday against the Royals. The Royals, when that fifth inning started to get away from him. It's picking at the uniform, the deep breathing, all that kind of stuff. You've seen it before. Yankees, fine. It's unfortunate, you know, for Red Sox fans, but you see it, and I guess you shouldn't be shocked at this point. To follow up that again, that, and it's the same damn thing against the Royals last Saturday. Like, I don't know how you can look at this guy and trust him.
I mean,
and feel like it's going to change.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. Now, look, maybe it will. But I'll tell you, one of the other things that, now that I think about it with Price, you know what I would really emphasize? And I'm sure they have. He just hasn't done it. But I would really emphasize, if I were Dana Lavangie, the pitching coach, or anyone else, David, work faster. Work faster. It'll help. It'll help because you won't spend the time spinning your wheels like you do all the time against the good teams. The caller's right. He gets in his own way. He's a nut job on the mound. Get the ball, set up, trust the catcher. Stop thinking about the pitches and just whip it. Whip it. And then you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that over six innings. Quickly, Jim is in Newton. Jim, what do you got?
Tim?
Oh, Tim, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. So I know you guys have been talking a lot today about what the Red Sox have shown us and what we can expect in the postseason. And I think you said David Price is going to be their most important player going in. And I disagree because I think it's Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has played in 53 wins for the Red Sox this year and 22 losses. In the wins, he's hitting .377, 78 hits, 20 home runs. In the losses, he's hitting .278, 22 hits, and 2 home runs. In the postseason, he has 7 hits, no home runs, no RBI, and he's hitting .269. As the offense goes, so does Mookie Betts. And it doesn't matter if David Price gives up no runs or if he gives up 10. If the offense can't score and they can't put something together, they have no chance, and Mookie Betts is that guy, and this is his team now. So I want to see something from him in October.
Okay, so, Jim, look, I'm not telling you Mookie's not important. He is, too. He has been underwhelming in October, although I thought he was better last year than he was the year before. Even in the year against Cleveland, it felt like he was starting to come out of it at the end of the series. So it would not shock me in the least bit if this guy has a monster October. But I always have a hard time picking a guy in a lineup with 9 guys in it versus a guy in a rotation with 3 or 4, especially when you're paying him $31 million. And so here's a question I will ask you, because a lot of people, in looking at the Red Sox and the Yankees in the playoffs, will say, well, if you stack up the Red Sox against New York, Boston versus New York, Boston has the better rotation. And what I would say to you is, are you sure about that? Are you really sure about that? When you look at the two rotations in the American League, are the Red Sox really appreciably better than the Yankees? Because you say, well, the Yankees have Severino, and who else? Well, in the postseason with the Red Sox, after you get by Sale, who do you trust? Do you trust Porcello, who has an ERA of 5.5 in the postseason? And whom, look, overall in the regular season, Rick Porcello's a good regular season pitcher. He's a good number 3 starter. Absolutely, that's what he is. But is he a guy that you look at and say, well, he's going to shut down another team in the playoffs? Or is he a guy that is just built for the regular season, because that's what I think he is? Or Eduardo Rodriguez? Price is the difference maker. Price is the one that gives you an edge over other teams. The Yankees can match Sale. They'll put Severino out there. But then what happens if Price is pitching well? Price is the guy. Price. 617-779-0985. Jim Murray will get you caught up on headlines. When we come back, we'll touch on last night's game. As Adam Jones said here, was it a Red Sox win or really was it a Rangers loss? Touch on trade rumors, and we'll also get to your calls. We'll do all of that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox welcome in the Blue Jays for the first of this 4-game weekend series. They'll be going for their 10th win in a row. David Price on the mound for the Sox. Jay Happ goes for Toronto. Price looking to bounce back after a couple of bad starts. He's given up 12 earned runs in 8 innings over these last 2 starts, and he's been on the mound. First pitch of Fenway is at 7:10. You'll see Eduardo Nunez at third base tonight for the Sox. That's because they placed Rafael Devers on the 10-day disabled list, retroactive to yesterday. The reason for Devers' trip to the DL, inflammation in his left shoulder. Tsui-Wei Lin was recalled from AAA Pawtucket and added to the 25-man roster. Celtics defeated the New York Knicks today, 82-75, to move on in the NBA Summer League Tournament. But more importantly, this from Kevin Smith. He is a real GM. Find him on Twitter. with a blue check mark verified account. He said with Kyrie in Las Vegas to watch the Summer League Celtics, he heard from a team source, quote, ignore the noise about Kyrie not liking it in Boston and about being jealous of the kids and the attention that they get. This team closer than any team I can remember, end quote. Headlines brought to you by Kiel Vodka, the first American-made premium light vodka, smoother, lighter, better-tasting vodka with only 58 calories per serving. Kiel Vodka, stay balanced. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 for Sports Up. Next update at 7.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Longer than anyone would have imagined, and he popped him up. Racing out Odor, coming on to Shields. Odor circling back, and he can't get it. It falls in, here comes the run, and down to second, Skipper's Diaz. Boy, Odor had all sorts of trouble. You see this when you have the infield in like
that. Yeah, I'm telling you, a can of corn like that for an infielder is deathly, especially when the infield's in, you got to go, you're back to the infield, you turn around, and he's all, he doesn't know where he is.
Cologne trying to get out of the inning. Into left center, loop. Long run to Shields, coming on, sliding over, gets between them. Gallo couldn't get it either. Another run is in. Here comes Bogaerts into third. He'll slide in there to Shields and Gallo, crossing like ships in the night there. Unable to haul it in. It's 4-0.
Boy, you remind the opening day, the ball that Nunez hit, that inside the park home run, but ball got away. And that's a triple, RBI triple there for Bogey.
So I told you last night, the Red Sox deserve credit for taking care of business against the bad teams. The Yankees haven't done it as well as the Red Sox have. That's why the Red Sox are in first place. Head-to-head, New York's 5-4 against the Red Sox. It's only a game difference, but in theory, if they beat up on everyone else, and the Yankees have beaten Houston, the Yankees have beaten Seattle. So you look at all that and you say the Yankees should be in first place. You know why they're not? Because the Yankees haven't sealed the deal or you know, taking care of business against the bad teams. The Red Sox have. Last night, boy, the Rangers gave that game away. Boy, did they suck. Wow, was that bad defense by the Rangers last night. So, look, again, give the Red Sox credit, but last night, be honest. The Rangers, Odor drops a pop-up in sure right field. The other one with the ball that fell between, that Bogaerts got the triple on, that wasn't even an error. That went down as a triple. But that's a play that has to get made. I mean, it's just the competition in the American League this year is so, so bad. Back to your calls, and Frank is in New Jersey. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, guys. I'm going to disagree with the last caller who said that Mookie Betts is the key to the Red Sox in the postseason. Well, the last 2 years, the biggest reason why the Red Sox have failed in the postseason is starting pitching.
Agree.
So my topic line for the call was that Price is the number one reason to not have confidence in the Red Sox for this postseason. I don't even think it's close. I know they need a bullpen arm, but to me, and I've called several times on this, and I'm going to probably keep calling about him, David Price is the number one reason not to have confidence in them. A couple days ago on the Baseball Reporters, when you weren't there, Matt, I think it was Adam Jones who said, hypothetically, imagine the Red Sox had John Lester. He was their number two. We'd be saying Lester, number two pitcher behind Sale, go get a reliever, and you'd feel really, really good about going into the postseason, and you take your chances with that team. So that it goes back to 2014, and that four-year, $70 million offer, it's still haunting the Boston Red Sox. David Price, number one reason, he should be in the bullpen in the postseason. And like that caller said yesterday, if he's in the rotation, they're already down one game in the ALDS. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I love that guy too, Frank. We did. We had a caller yesterday, God bless him, who said that the way he looks at it, the Red Sox are already down 1-0 in the division series because there's no way that Price wins. It's July 12th. It used to be years ago that we'd start talking about who pitches game two of the playoffs when Pedro was here. Now we look at it and say, well, you're going to lose game two. So you better win game one and you better win three out of the remaining four, at least in the division series. So look, to me, I'm with Frank. I think that Price is the most important guy on the team because, again, he's the difference maker. If Price comes out and pitches like a legit number two starter, then the whole equation changes. And, Murray, it must have been you who made the comparison with Lester the other night, not Jones, right?
Maybe it was the afternoon show and it was Jones and I that were on here. But yeah, he, you know, we've mentioned this kind of thing over the last fill-in times, you know, on the Baseball Reporter. Sure. I don't remember saying that, though.
So now look, it was 4 years ago and the Lester thing is over, although it came up again recently because the game in New York that Price got absolutely smacked around in was the same day that John Lester hit a home run and improved to 11-2 with a 2.25 ERA. Now, I know it's the National League, but in all seriousness, when you look at it, Price or Lester in Game 2 of the playoffs? And honestly, the more I think about it,
it's not even a debate.
And I'm not even sure it would be Lester in Game 2. It might be Lester in Game 1. Because given his postseason history, you might actually pitch Sale in the second game of the playoffs. Lester was money and reliable in the playoffs. Darren's in West Roxbury. Go ahead, Darren.
Hey, I was just going to ask a little about David Price, or more so that he's really a head case, and I think you're spot on that, Tony. The big piece with him, I compare him a lot to Sergio Garcia on the golf side. When you looked at Sergio Garcia years ago, that guy would take forever to hit a golf ball, and it just got into his head whenever there was a pressure shot to be made. That is David Price on the mound. And anything they can do to speed up his pace of play is only going to benefit him. I'll hang up now.
Okay, so Darren, when you see a guy like that who takes a long time between swings, and use the golf analogy, it's not a bad one. Because pitching and golf are not terribly different. In that, again, you're sort of, especially in the postseason, you're thinking about every pitch and the precision of it. Right? And what happens, and you know what, even if you're a hack who plays at a Putterham or wherever else, Ponkapog, take your pick, any public course, and that's fine. I mean, I played at all those places and loved playing there. But the guy who sits there and takes a long time to swing the club, that guy's not going to do well. You know, as soon as you start thinking about your mechanics out there, you're screwed. And I would say the same of Price. Once he starts thinking about his mechanics on the mound, he's screwed. It's over. The confident guy gets up and says, I'm going to hit the ball to this spot, doesn't think about it, and just hits it. And Price on the mound, mental case. Complete mental case. Tony's in Kingston. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, the issue, too, is that with them being a wild card versus a division winner, as you were saying earlier, Sale's never going to see Severino. That first guy who throws in that wild card game, right? That screws up your rotation so bad that if you don't have a number two, like Tanaka was real good for the Yankees last year, and so was CeCe if you think about it, it essentially takes your number one because you have to use him in that wild card game, and then you're doomed. You need a solid number two, or you're doomed.
So, look, Tony, I just think it's very hard, and you make a good point. Whoever doesn't win the division is going to be in the wild card game. So, but the Red Sox may win the division, right? I mean, so Sale would pitch game one, Price would pitch game two. But I just think it's hard to win with one pitcher. It's hard. I mean, the Red Sox had Clemens all those years, and they couldn't win it. And Clemens was as good as anybody going. The Dodgers in 88 were an exception. Hershiser was historically good. I think he won 25 games that year. And frankly, the Oakland A's blew the series. Okay, so it's hard to win with one dominating starting pitcher. I mean, you've got to have depth in the rotation to be able to win. I'm just telling you, I don't know how good the Red Sox depth really is. And the people who want to sit there and preach Boston's rotation depth over New York's, I was just looking it up here a second ago. In the American League, the Yankees right now rank sixth in starters ERA. The Red Sox are fourth. And the gap is not that great. The Red Sox are 369 as a rotation. The Yankees are 388. So you're talking about 0.17 in runs. I mean, and the Yankees have a much deeper bullpen. So they don't need their starters to go deep. They just need them to keep them in the game into the sixth inning. And then their bullpen can take over. It really is about quality arms on the staff as much as it is about starters and relievers. And I feel overall that the Yankees have the quality on the staff. In fact, if you go pitching overall, New York ranks ahead of the Red Sox in the American League. They're about a tenth of a run better. So if you wanted to say pitching overall, you got to give the edge to New York. Angelo's in Methuen. Angelo, go.
How you doing? Tony, what do you think of the Red Sox outfield? Like, why I'm asking, Rami says they're the best in the American League. I doubt it.
So, Angelo, defensively going right across, Benintendi, Bradley, Betts, that's the best defensive outfield in the league. Offensive, like, I'd have to think about it, you know, honestly, because I never do it this way. Like, I never say, well, your infield's better than everyone else's infield, you're out. Like, it, to me, that doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, it's about your nine guys versus their nine guys, and are your nine better?
Because I used to have the MLB Network where I'd watch, you know, mostly, the, you know, switch over. But right now, I really like to know, because Rennie keeps on bringing it up now and then about they got the best outfielder in the American League. I just wanted your thoughts.
Yeah, so, Angelo, again, defensively, I would tell you, I don't think it's disputable. I mean, their outfield defensively is good. If Benintendi's your left fielder, you get a good defensive outfield. Because he could play center. At, you know, he'd be an average center fielder, I think, but he could play there. And Betts, we know, is excellent. And Bradley is, you know, historically good in center field. He's really good. Although sometimes I think he's a little overrated, and defense at the position overall, I think, is a little bit overrated. You can get by with an average center fielder. You can. But defensively, left to right, the Red Sox run down a lot of balls. They do. I'd rather have a good defensive infield than a defensive outfield. Although you could certainly argue in this day and age with launch angle and everything and the hitter's desire to hit the ball in the air that the outfield is more important.